football on off the ball.
I use the words like daylight robbery. I honestly can't.
For who? Who's been robbed?
Everybody. Everybody is being robbed.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Football Daily on Off the Ball.
Hello and welcome on to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Arsenal can move one step closer to the Premier League title. Tamir Halgrimson includes four League of Ireland players in a squad for the friendlies against Qatar and Canada. And Seamus Coleman plays his final home game for Everton. But first up today, Arsenal can open up a 5-point lead at the top of the Premier League tonight if they win at home to already relegated Burnley. Mikel Arteta's side can pile the pressure on Manchester City, who play Bournemouth away from home tomorrow night. It means Arsenal can't win the title in front of their home fans with their last game against Crystal Palace to come at Sellers Park on the final day.
There's no our choice. We have the opportunity for our supporters. It's going to be a Monday night. Let's take it in a really positive way. We leave something incredible with our supporters against Atletico. If we can replicate any of that, I know that the team is going to respond really, really well.
And you'll be able to hear live commentary of the Arsenal and Burnley game tonight on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr will call the action from the Emirates. West Ham will be relegated if Tottenham beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge tomorrow. The Hammers lost 3-1 away to Newcastle yesterday to leave them 2 points behind Spurs with one game to play. Nuno Espirito Santo's side are also well behind in goal difference, so even a draw for Spurs at Stamford Bridge would effectively relegate West Ham. But the West Ham boss says there's still a chance they could go to their final match against Leeds.
We should do better so we can show at the London Stadium to our fans a different performance, a different attitude in terms of the game. Anything is possible. Let's wait for Tuesday. Even though it's difficult, we're still alive. Let's see. There's some hope.
Bruno Fernandes equaled the Premier League record for most goal assists in a season in Manchester United's 3-2 win at home to Nottingham Forest. He's now level with the mark set by Arsenal legend Thierry Henry and former Manchester City captain Kevin De Bruyne on 20. The United captain was happy to get there in the end.
They've been trying everything they can to score from my passes. Was there probably moments today that I should have passed instead of shoot and still I got the shot, but I'm very happy for the assist, but more than that, I'm very happy for the win and to finish the season on a high.
United secured third place with that result, and we're now just awaiting official confirmation of Michael Carrick's appointment as permanent manager. The current interim boss admits he's wondering what really motivates his captain Fernandes.
He's going through at times and you're thinking, what's gone through his head? You know, is he looking for a pass? Is he looking just to score? And it was a really nice moment for everybody, you know, and credit to him for that, because it's not easy, but he always puts himself behind the team first, and he's going to get the praise because it is a fantastic achievement, obviously.
Elsewhere yesterday, Brentford drew 2-2 at home to Crystal Palace to keep their European hopes alive. They head to Anfield on the final day against a Liverpool side that may still need a win to secure Champions League football, but only if Bournemouth beat City tomorrow. Leeds beat Brighton 1-0 at Elland Road. It finished 1-1 between Wolves and Fulham. And Everton lost 3-1 to Sunderland at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. It was Seamus Coleman's final home game as an Everton player. The Ireland international came off the bench late in the match, but the ground was more than half empty when the Donegal man said his farewells at the final whistle. He signed from Sligo Rovers 17 years ago for £60,000. Everton boss David Moyes says Coleman has led by example since his arrival, and he also said the club's recruitment team deserve great credit for the signing.
I don't know about what anybody else would say, but certainly for me, I think he's right up there. But I have to say, you know, I get the praise for it, but I have to praise the recruitment team at that time who went and spotted him in Ireland and brought him over and forced me into doing it, because I think Seamus had been in loan, maybe, or not loan, but he'd been in trial, I think, at a couple of clubs before, and we decided to take him, and he's been a great servant to the club, he really has been. I think the thing about being a manager, you want to bring in players who are going to be good players for your team, and whether they be young players, and you want them, but to stay at the club for 17 years, and you know, I've missed quite a part of Seamus's time here as well, but I think more recently he's been the glue which has kept an awful lot together behind the scenes, and when it's been difficult he's been the one who's come out and stood up and also made sure that he galvanised the players to keep performing, don't let the difficult times get them down, so he needs a lot of credit as a human being and what he's done for Everton.
Seamus Coleman was included in Hamer Halgrimson's Ireland squad for the upcoming friendlies against Qatar and Canada. The Ireland boss named a 24-man squad, which includes Tottenham's Mason Melia, as well as four League of Ireland players. Shamrock Rovers pair Ed McGuinty and Adam Brennan have been selected, alongside Bohemians midfielder Dawson Devoy and Cork City goalkeeper Conor Brann. Melia is one of five players to get a first senior call-up. The others are Lecce defender Corey Ndaba, Newcastle's Alex Murphy, Middlesbrough midfielder Alex Gilbert and Tondela's Joe Hodge. Jade Newmay is set for his first involvement with the senior squad after being forced to withdraw for the training camp in Spain due to his club commitments with Benfica. Hibs striker Owen Elding will also link up with the squad for the window, even though he's not eligible yet to play for the boys in green. Ireland will play Qatar at the Aviva on Thursday the 26th of May and will then travel to Montreal to face Canada on the 6th of June. There are two League of Ireland Premier Division games down for Monday the 25th of May, featuring four clubs set to play European football later this summer. Derry City are at home to Shelburne and Bohemians face Shamrock Rovers, with Ed McGuinty, Adam Brennan and Dawson Devoy all set to feature. Halgrimson says he's not sure yet if that Bows and Rovers game will go ahead.
I've already talked to all the coaches, their coaches, told them, you know, if they are available, we'll take them from the beginning of the camp. But obviously it's in the hands of the clubs and then the coaches, if they want to release them. And then probably now there will be some talks if we can postpone. For example, Bows are playing Shamrock Rovers. That is a game.
Yeah, that's on the Monday.
That's on the Monday, yeah. So that could make it easier for them to decide. Obviously, there are two goalkeepers there from the League of Ireland, and I've said to both coaches that they could play the game on the Monday because we will not train on the Monday and then show up on the Tuesday. It's a little bit different, the goalkeeper's position than outfield players. Yeah, but like I said, if they decide they can't do until we fly to Canada, then we just take that. So they will be in the squad. We understand 100% if they will not be available.
Halgrimson also spoke about the benefit of the recent training camp in Spain, which ended with a 5-0 win over Grenada on Saturday.
When you have a chance to do a camp or camps like this, you have all of a sudden you have a chance without the pressure of you need to win the game. You can look at players, you can work in peace and quiet with them, etc. So it's just so valuable and new for us now. I've been here 2 years and we have never had a chance to do this. But you can hopefully see from this game that, wow, this guy is actually closer than you think. So yeah, to have maybe another 4 or 5 knocking on the door after next camp, That not only will bring the big depth in our squad, that will put pressure on those who have normally been in our squad. This is just thinking outside the box and trying to find this one jewel that we haven't tried before. Yeah, so hopefully we'll have debutants do well next camp as well.
Our man Ben Symes was out in Murcia, and after the game he caught up with Ireland's hat-trick hero Jack Moylan, who scored on his international debut.
As days go, it doesn't really get any better. In my footballing career, I'll remember this day for the rest of my life, so yeah, it's unforgettable.
What does it feel to walk out there for the first time wearing the Irish jersey? Obviously, we know the friendly was happening the other day, but you're in front of an Irish crowd, your family, everyone here. How did that feel?
Yeah, it is what you dream of as a kid. I've gone to 50, 60 Ireland games growing up. You watch them and you dream of it growing up, and to have that moment, to take it all in and having your friends and family there, it does mean the absolute world to me. I think I said it earlier, the proudest thing a footballer can have is playing for the country, and I'm a very proud Irish man, and to play for my country means the absolute world to me.
Talk us through the goals in the second half, because you had a couple of chances down there in the first half. Did you think maybe it wasn't going to be your day, the way the keeper was pulling off some saves?
I should have had a hat-trick in the first half, I think, and I was probably sweating at half-time going, God, don't let it get away from you. But I suppose that's probably something I've learned over my career, that if years ago, maybe if I did miss my first few chances, I probably would let it get to me. But to just, I don't know, keep your head, maybe get a bit of luck with the force when you're running behind and it falls for you. But then, yeah, the other two, as I said to Andy and Ellie, I allowed them. I'll remember that moment for the rest of my life, giving me balls into the back post. So, yeah, look, 3 goals is the best feeling in the world. And as I said, to do it for your country is just unbelievable.
There's one game in the Premier Division tonight. Bottom side Waterford are at home to Drogheda United in a rearranged fixture. Waterford are still yet to win this season. They were just seconds away from a first win last Friday, but they conceded an injury time goal in their 2-2 draw with Derry City at the RSC. On the same night, Drogheda lost 2-1 to Bohemians at Dalymount Park. Tonight's game at the RSC kicks off at 7:45. And remember, you can listen to the LOI pod for free each and every week in your OTB football podcast feed. A new episode will be available later in the week, and plenty to talk about after the top two both lost 1-0 last Friday. Jose Mourinho is on the verge of a return to Real Madrid after agreeing a 2-year contract with the club. The Spanish giants are expected to confirm the appointment after their final game of the season, which is against Athletic Bilbao this Sunday. The Portuguese boss will leave Benfica to take on the role at the Bernabeu. Chelsea interim boss Callum McFarlane says he's excited about the club's appointment of Xabi Alonso. The former Real Madrid and Bayer Leverkusen boss has signed a 4-year deal at Stamford Bridge starting this summer. The club's number one target has already vowed to win trophies, and McFarlane believes Alonso is an excellent choice.
Great coach, massive pedigree, massive club. I think we've got really exciting players, some of the best players in the world, who have shown, even though it's been a disappointing season, they have shown at times this year the quality that we have. So yes, it's a massive club and it will always attract top players and top managers.
And one of the big stories over the weekend came on Saturday, a day after Liverpool's 4-2 loss away to Aston Villa. It was the 12th league defeat of the season for last year's Premier League champions. Mo Salah came off the bench in the second half on his return from injury. But not for the first time this season, Salah was critical of the people in charge without naming names. This time he did it via social media on Saturday. Salah said that Liverpool have to return to being a heavy metal attacking team, which opponents fear. He said it's the football he knows how to play, and it's the identity that needs to be recovered and kept for good. It can't be negotiable, and everyone that joins Liverpool should adapt to it. It was seen as a dig at Arne Slot, who's under increasing pressure. 33-year-old Salah will leave Liverpool at the end of this season. He has scored 257 goals and in his 9 years at the club has won 6 major trophies. Former Ireland international Keith Tracy was in studio with John Duggan for Off the Ball Sunday. He wasn't a fan of how Salah has gone about things in his final season.
No need for him to be going down this route. If he wants to vent to his agent, if he wants to go home and vent to his family, or even, you know, in the dressing room to a couple of players that he feels close to, why is he doing this out in public? Why is he giving these interviews to people? And if you're Virgil van Dijk, somebody's got to get a hold of him and say, Mo, what are you doing here? You've been an unbelievable player. You've won everything for Liverpool. You're an absolute legend at the club. But that Leeds interview he did earlier on in the season, and now this interview, and you're spot on, JD, crumbling to yet another defeat. Using that word crumbling is horrible.
What about the likes that, I know Andy Robertson's leaving, he liked it, but Kirkez liked it, Szoboszlai liked it, Gravenberch liked it, Curtis Jones clapped with his emoji, Ekotike did a handshake emoji.
I think it's an easy one. If I'm Andy Robinson, for instance, and Slot brings me into the office on Monday morning, so what are you doing on social media clapping this? I was just talking about the standards and, you know, not losing games, and Liverpool have to be better than this. You don't have to buy into the I think we all know he's talking about Slot and losing games, but you can tiptoe your way around it. There's a little bit of wiggle room there. But what are they playing at? They're like a bunch of kids on social media, you know, having a poke at the manager. The stuff with Mo Salah, if I was Arne Slot, I'd leave him on the bench on the last day. I think he's poked him enough times, and they've got Brentford at home in Anfield. Mo would love to come off the bench and get the send-off that he possibly should with the Liverpool fans. But if I'm Arne Slot, as they're all singing his name in the 80th minute to bring him on, I'd look and I'd give him...
That would be controversial. That would be a big moment, wouldn't it? A big football moment.
Look, he's poked him a couple of times, hasn't he? And I feel Arne Slot is going to lose his job at the end of the season anyway.
You think so?
Yeah, so if he puts Salah on, it's only extending an olive branch. And by the way, like, I know Salah's unbelievable player for Liverpool and done everything. He's on £400,000 a week and he signed a 2-year deal in April 2025. And he was adamant that he should get a 2-year deal. Here we are 13 months down the road and we've all decided, Liverpool and him, the best thing to happen is for you to leave now.
And that's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.